If you want to know about that, just get the tapes for the last 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. Seems like it's about that long, doesn't it? Oh, we need to do the offering. I'm telling you. Well, let's do it. Let's bring our offering before the Lord tonight. Praise God. Let's do it in faith, believing that God's going to restore to us 100-fold. Father, we thank you for your word tonight that says, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. We thank you that your word says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. I thank you for your word that says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So we thank you, Father, that your word is truth. And as we sow, you're going to minister to people with this. And make sure that it gets multiplied far beyond what we're giving. But also, we thank you that it also is multiplied back to us, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 4. Let's look at it. I want to go back here and look at the 10th verse tonight. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. You can readily see that in verses 3 through 8... he gave the original parable of the sower, or he gave it for the first time, I should say. And it was a little vague to the guys. And so verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so that's obviously more than 12, right? Mm-hmm. Asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables or stories. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now, at first glance, you think, well, Jesus didn't want them to turn and be forgiven? Well, of course he did. Of course he did. What Jesus is saying here is that not everybody who hears the word is ready to receive the word. And so what he did was, Jesus would teach the large crowd of 5,000, 10,000, however many it was. It was varying amounts. He'd teach the large crowd with stories and pictures and parables so that some of them could say, hey, that was true about farming, wasn't it? That's true, isn't it? I mean, and they'd just totally be oblivious to spiritual things. Have you ever seen somebody do that? Mm. Now, we've all done that, haven't we? We said, hey, it was a good story and everything, but we missed the point. What's the point, right? Jesus would do that all the time, and he'd teach in parables so that people could miss the point. Now, why was that important? Because some people's hearts were not ready to receive the mystery and the truth that was wrapped up in that story. And so, if he did give it to them straight up, they'd be more responsible for it, and of course, more accountable to it, and then be judged for it, and so on and so forth. To whom much is given, much is required, and those kind of things. So out of his grace and the way that he approached his ministry, he would teach people according to their ability. And so if they had a lot of ability to receive the word, he would teach them more deeply so that they could understand it. I used to be a person that taught the same level all the time. And I just didn't know any better. I thought, man, all these guys telling stories, watering it down. Come on now. I just thought that was, you know, cheesy ministers. You know what I mean? I didn't talk about them in a bad way, but I did think that, come on now, you ought to get in the Word. Praise God. That's just the way that I thought, because, you know, you don't water it down. Well, I didn't realize here that Jesus had different ways of teaching, different levels. And so it says again here, it says that he said, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, notice this, all things come in what? How many things?
All things.
All things. Isn't that interesting? He said, I teach everything to those guys with stories. See, I used to say, those guys that just tell stories is terrible. But see, Jesus would get the message across to them in stories. But now he's talking to the 12 and others around him. We might say the 70, okay? Okay. Now, he goes in verses 13 through 20 and explains that and does further explanation with a few other different pictures all the way through verse 32. Now, notice verse 33, it says, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them," notice this, "as they were able to hear it." So notice the sensitivity that Jesus had to the hearers or the listeners' ability to receive. Can you see that? I used to preach it the same way all the time, and if you weren't hungry, then something's wrong with you. And I used to tell youth all the time, I'm talking about high schoolers, I'd say, and some of these guys were in the youth group, so I'd just get in there and say, "Hey, if this is too heavy for you, you know, too much meat, just spit it out and take a smaller bite. But this is the Word of God. This is what you need." You know what I mean? I mean, absolutely no sensitivity to where that. Isn't that right? I mean, that's just the way that it was. You know, and the grace of God just kept bringing young people there. But I believe with all of my heart also that had I had insight to see and to be sensitive to people's ability to hear and to teach and minister to people at different levels, we would have been able to reach a whole lot more youth than we were. So again, notice it says, "With many such parables, he spoke the word." See, parables are still speaking the word. He still was able to interject the word in there. "To them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable, he did not speak to them." Can you see that? He's telling stories. Now notice this. And when they were alone, he explained," see, no more parables, "he explained all things to his disciples." Do you see the three levels there? One is just general parable. The second one is he explained parables, but he used parables to do it. The third is he just explained everything to his disciples. See the three different levels? I never did see that. Let me tell you something. Everybody's at a little bit different place. All of us can receive the Word of God at different levels. Some of us can only handle Sundays, and others of us can only handle Sundays and Wednesdays. You talk about listening to teaching in the car, and, "Oh, here you go to church Sundays and Wednesdays." You know, they just can't figure, why would you? Who in the world would like to, you know? And so they're the ones, you know, you're flipping through the radio and you hear the different music. "I had a dog," you know, and you're going through, and then they flip over and hear some guy said, "And the Word of God," turn it real fast, you know what I mean? That's, don't even let it go for a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? They wouldn't even listen to see if it might be something that they'd hear because they're already conditioned. I don't do that outside of church. See, we're just all at different levels, different abilities. In the natural, how many of you know different people have different levels of appetite? Isn't that true? You know, you hang around with some people, it's like, you don't eat. My son Jonathan, man, you gotta always work with the guy. Eat, you gotta eat. You know, and he's talking, "Dad, Dad, you know what, Dad? Hey, Dad, you know what? Eat." You know, everybody's done. We're sitting there for 15 minutes after dinner. It's like, "Eat. How many more bites do I have to eat?" "Eat. Just eat. Will you just eat?" You know what I mean? Well, yeah. Well, then we got our daughter. Our daughter doesn't ask how many more bites. Our daughter's asking our son, "Are you going to eat that?" I mean, she's got a good appetite, you know? And I find myself picking at his food too. You know, you don't be a good steward and everything, you know. See, everybody's got a different appetite, the same way it is in the spirit. People have different appetites for the Word of God. Some people can handle a lot more than others. And you know what happens? How many of you know if you will force yourself to eat more, you'll end up staying at that level? Isn't that right? You will. You'll end up staying right there. Some people eat 4, 5, 6 meals a day. And we'd love to blame it all on high metabolism, wouldn't we? Huh? See? Well, that's the way it is with the Word. You develop yourself up to that level, and then you'll have that craving for it. See, but at first, it's a discipline, and after that, it'll become a part of your natural lifestyle where you need to be in the Word like that. So again, he spoke the Word as they were able to hear it. See the sensitivity there. And then it says, and when they were alone, the end of verse 34, he explained all things to his disciples. Well, obviously, his disciples were able to hear all things. Right? They had that ability. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus has been talking here for a long time, right? I mean, it seems like he told the parable, and then he went and told other parables, and then he explained all things to his disciples. Well, he's been preaching a while. You know, we get on preachers today because, you know, they go longer than 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever, you know. Well, he's long-winded and so on. Hey, Paul, man, preached till midnight. The guy fell out of the third-story window and died. And if you read it, you'll find out after he raised the guy from the dead, the Bible says, and he stood around there and he preached to the few people that stayed until morning. See? So there's a precedent in the Word right there. See? So you ought to thank God you got somebody here, pastor, wanting to be scriptural. Wanting to be, you know. But of course, you know, I'm going to teach you as you're able to hear it. You know, so. But we're not going to let anybody sit on the roof to listen. Well, let's look here now. He explained all things to his disciples. Now, let me ask you, what is he explaining? Huh? Is he studying about aeronautics? Huh? Is he studying biology? What is it that he's explaining to them?
Kingdom.
About the kingdom. But notice again, verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word. What is Jesus teaching them? The word. When he explained all things to his disciples, what is he explaining? The word. So they're hearing the word, are they not? Okay, now, he has been explaining how the word goes in, the seed goes into our hearts, and Satan comes to take the seed out of our hearts. Isn't that right? And how if they could hold on to it, and then Satan would bring persecution and tribulation and worry and deceitfulness of riches, love of money, desires for other things, getting them distracted with all kinds of things. But if they could hang on to it and let it grow up, then they'd produce and they would get whatever it is that the word said. They'd get the promises. They'd get the benefit of whatever that word was. But if they let it be stolen, they got how much? Zero. Isn't that right? None. Three out of the four soils that he talked about got zero results from the Word of God, from the seed. Even though the sower wanted them to get all of it. Right? See, God's Word, God wants us to get all of it. But in the middle of this whole thing, some of that seed gets stolen and choked out. And Jesus explained all that. We don't have time to go into all that. But that's what he's saying. Now notice this. He explained all of that to his disciples. Now we didn't hear that explanation. We've been studying the parable part of it this whole time. Here he went into more depth than we saw here in this chapter and explained it all to those guys, how it worked and how the word went into their heart. But if they could hang on to it, it'd grow up and it'd become greater and it would overcome all the circumstances of their life and it would produce and the promises of God would come to pass in their life. Just like Hebrews chapter 6 says, where it says, to follow those who by faith and patience inherit the promises. And that's what Jesus explained. Those who by faith and patience sticking to it. I think David taught several weeks ago on faith and patience. Who through faith and patience inherit or receive the promises. I don't know about you, but it's not good enough just to read the scripture. I want it to happen. Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. I mean, God didn't send this scripture into the world just so we could be blessed. Oh, I read that and I was just blessed by it. Well, he didn't say it so you'd be blessed by it. He said it so because he wanted it to happen. He wanted it to come about. Well, Jesus has been explaining this whole time why it doesn't always come about. And that's because it's either choked out or it's stolen or we lose track or we get sidetracked or whatever and we don't hang on to what God said and stand on it until it's harvest time. Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart, right? Or you don't faint. Okay. So Jesus here in verse 34, it says, without a parable he did not speak to them, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Can you see that? Explained it all to them. Now, verse 35, on the same day... You think the Holy Spirit put that in there on accident? On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go halfway over the lake and sink. Huh? Is that what he said? What did he say? Let us cross over to the other side. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus feels very strong about His words that come out of His mouth. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Can you say that? Jesus was not somebody who just flung out words and just spoke their mind. Somebody says, well, you know how I am. I just speak my mind. Jesus didn't speak His mind. Jesus spoke from His spirit. He spoke on purpose. He didn't say things that He didn't really mean. Jesus is the one that says, have faith in God, and whoever says to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says. Now again, he's not talking about God here. He's not talking about himself. He said, whoever says, right, to the mountain, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now notice how intentional Jesus is. He said, let us cross over to the other side. What's he saying? He's not just saying, hey guys, let's go to the other side. No, he is on purpose saying, we're getting there. Let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. I don't have time to get into that, but let me just tell you something. When you're teaching under the anointing of God for a long period of time, many times when that anointing, that teaching anointing lifts, you are exhausted. That anointing was strengthening you and leading you to minister. But when that anointing lifts, a lot of times you're tired. You're just completely drained because that anointing helped you to give everything you had and strengthen you. But then when that was over, it was over. That thing lifted, and boy, I've experienced that not many times, but a few times just like that, where, man, I just felt all the strength and zeal in the world to give out and to be at camps and to teach multiple times and to be right on top of it. And then the thing was over, the ministry time was over and everything, and all of a sudden, you could sense it lift off you, and man, you just feel like, oh, I'm licorice, you know what I mean? I'm about to fall down here. What's going on? Well, that's what happened with Jesus here. They took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm, what?
Arose.
Now, the word great there is the Greek word megas. Of course, we get our word mega from it. So this wasn't just a little storm, right? This wasn't a windstorm. This was a mega windstorm. This was a huge windstorm. Where did it come from? Here Jesus, and by the way, I've been over to the Sea of Galilee and such, and really it's a lake. We're not talking about the Mediterranean Ocean here, okay? We're talking about it. They call it the Sea of Galilee and everything. He says, let us cross over the other side. You can see all the way over. But see, they get in the boat. Here they go, and whoosh, this great mega windstorm arises. Where'd it come from? Where'd it come from? Now flip back over. I want to show you. Flip back over here. Verse 13, or actually verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, well, had these guys been hearing the word? Okay, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. How fast does he come?
Immediately.
Okay, hold your place there. Look back at verse 35. On the same day. Isn't that what it said? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The same day. Okay, flip back over. Verse 15. Satan comes immediately to do what?
Steal the word.
Take away the word that was sown. Well, did they get the word sown? You better believe it. He explained all things to these guys. These guys got more than anybody else. Now, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, after what? After they hear the word and receive it. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution
arises.
Flip back over there. Verse 37. Mm-hmm. Verse 35. On the same day, verse 37, a great windstorm
arose.
Huh? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing's playing out. He just got done explaining this to him, didn't he? He just explained this thing to him all day. We've been doing it a number of weeks, but this is on the same day. He said, now listen, guys, Satan comes immediately. And persecution and tribulation arises for the word's sake. Look at it again. Afterward, verse 17, right in the middle, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Why does the persecution and tribulation arise?
For the word's sake.
For the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. In other words, they don't stick to what God said. They get off on the circumstance. Well, and a great windstorm, a mega windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Now, wait a minute. He's sleeping. This is not a little windstorm. This is a great windstorm. Now, either he's really tired, or he sees this thing in a completely different way than they do. Huh? He was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Let me stop there for just a minute, because you might get hung up on this English word. Now, the word care, you'd think maybe correlates to the word over there in verse 18 where it says, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things, entering in, choke the word." Or maybe it's verse 19. Well, there are two words for care in the New Testament that are translated both care. See, in our English Bible, we say care, care, right? Care. Care is for merimna, care is for mellow. Okay, merimna is the word used there where it says the cares of this world choke the word. That merimna means worry. It comes from the root word merizo, which is to divide or distract. Jesus said every kingdom merizo against itself is brought to desolation. And every house merizo against itself does not stand. And the root word there of merimna is merizo, which means that this worry is dividing you in yourself. On one hand, you believe God. On the other hand, you're saying, oh my goodness, but what if it doesn't happen? How many of you have ever felt that? You ever felt that? Yeah. Well, what it says is that merimna, that dividing merimna, distraction, division, chokes the word out. Because you've got these two different ideas in your heart growing up, and one chokes the other one out. And it becomes unfruitful. In other words, even though God spoke His word, made promises to you that He was going to come through, He doesn't come through because the word was choked out of your heart. Even though it was His will and His promise for Him to do so. You didn't hang on to it. Now, the other word for care is the word mellow. M-E-L-O, where... that means that's the care, like affectionate care. We say, oh, I really care about my son. I care about him. Not worry, but it's that care. See, we use them both interchangeably, but we understand the difference. But in the Bible, in the English word, you just see care, care. Now, there is a verse that puts both of those in the same verse. And that's over there, and I believe it's 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season, casting all your care or cares on Him, for He cares for you. See, in the English it's the same word, but in the Greek it's two separate words. It says, casting all your merimna, worry, over on Him, for He cares affectionately for you. See, different word. I used to think they were the same. And I said, see, God worries for me. No, God doesn't worry for you. Can you imagine God up there ringing and saying, oh my God, how am I going to get that $500? Oh my goodness, you know, walking on streets of gold. I just can't believe how we're going to get that, you know. God's not worrying for you. He's not worried a bit. How many of you know God spoke it? He believes what He said will come to pass, right? God's not like us. He doesn't doubt His word, right? He's not like us. He said, let there be light. He knows there's going to be light. He expects there to be light. God tells us in His word, let there be light. Oh, I hope it happens. I just hope God does it. Well, I said it. Yeah, but hope to do it. See what I mean? What is that? That's a division. That's a distraction. That's a concern. That's a worry. Well, that's not what He's talking about here. It says, teacher, do you not care? He's not talking about a worry, but He's saying, don't you, where is your affection? Where is your concern for us? Do you not care that we are perishing? We're dying here. They woke Him up. You know what I mean? Now picture this now. They all go on the boat. Jesus said, let us cross the other side. Jesus believes that what he says is going to come to pass. That's why he's sleeping. Okay? Let us cross the other side. A great windstorm arises. Just like Jesus said, something's going to happen. Persecution, tribulation. That was a tribulation. Boom, it arises. This thing is, waves are beating into the boat, and the Bible says the boat's filling up. Now, these are, a lot of these guys are fishermen. But you don't have to be a fisherman to know when the boat gets full of water, it's going to, what?
Sink.
You don't have to be real smart to know that, right? We're going down here, baby. This thing is not going to last. It's filling up with water. And he's asleep. So they come. They wake him up. The Bible says they wake him up. And they say, danger, don't you care? Now listen to this. That we're dying. Interesting. Do you not care that we're perishing? You'd think they'd ask him, don't you care that you're going to die? They won't even think about him. Don't you care that we're dying? It's like, hey, we're about to die and you're going to miss it. Don't you want to see this? Now see, Jesus just finished talking about all of these things. How many of you know when God speaks the word and explains things, he believes that that's the way that it really processes out. So many times we'll hear the word, but when it comes to everyday life, we forget all about the fact that the word had anything to do with that. Here's the word, that's church. And then here's my life. Oh, man, I got this. Look at this going on and everything. Forget all about what Jesus explained to us and why those things are coming. Isn't that true? See, because we're not in church anymore. So nobody's saying, now, you know why this is happening? We're just out there and we see, oh, man. And we get bent out of shape. But, Emily, what are you talking about? You know, not realizing and forgetting all about what Jesus said, the word was doing in our heart and what the enemy was going to try to bring against us. And so now this is coming on. He's just trying to get me distracted, just trying to get me divided. Why? To choke the word. Mm-hmm. See, we're oblivious to all that. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the picture that's going on here. That's why the Bible says on the same day. Jesus said immediately. And it says on the same day. Mm-hmm. Same day. Jesus speaks the word and said, let us cross to the other side. And a great windstorm arises, and they say, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Now notice this. Then he arose. The great windstorm arose, but notice this. Then he arose. Now, I used to really get into that. Then he arose, thank God, and everything. But I don't really make that big of a deal out of it anymore. I'll tell you why. Because unless they'd have been all fearful, it doesn't seem like he would have. Isn't that right? From the text, it appears that the only reason why he did arise is because they freaked out. They woke him up. Teacher! Don't you care? We're dying here. So it says, then he arose, and notice this, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Now I want you to notice what he didn't do. It didn't say, then he arose and cried out, God, help! We're going to die! Notice he didn't do that. Why didn't he pray? Why didn't he pray? Why didn't Jesus say, Father, help me here. Hey, the boat's... it's full of water. God, help. Why didn't he do that? See, a lot of times you can learn things not by what the Bible says, but by what it didn't say. Why didn't he pray? Why didn't he ask for help? Huh? See, that's what we do. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, but he's the son of...
No. He's operating with the same, under the same conditions, by the same power of the Holy Spirit that we are. He didn't have any specialty item on him that we don't have available to us. We've got his name, so we have the same authority that he had, right?
Yes.
The same authority, the same Holy Spirit that he was functioning with, we function with. Why didn't he pray?
He had authority.
Mm-hmm. He believed he had authority, and he'd already said, let us cross over the other side, and that's what he believed was going to happen. If he had to walk. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what he did? When he saw this thing coming against him, here's what he did. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea. Not to God, about the wind and the sea. Isn't that interesting? And somebody says, well, yeah, he's Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said over there in Mark 11, 23. I just quoted to you a minute ago. He said, have faith in God. Verse 22. Verse 23 says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, to God about the mountain?
No. To the mountain.
Huh? Aren't we good at telling God about the mountain? Explaining it to him. Explaining to God how big it is because he doesn't know, right? Explaining to him how insurmountable and how insurpassable this mountain is. Oh, God, Lord, you see this problem, Lord. And Father, oh, you see how it's like this, Lord, and it's like that. And, oh, it's so big. What are we doing? Oh, we're explaining to God. Why? Because God can move it. Right? Notice Jesus didn't do that. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still, or be quiet and be still. Could he do that? Can you do that? He did, didn't he? Did it work? Well, look what it says. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, here's something that I was back in North Carolina teaching along these lines. And one of the great pastors, praise God for him, Scott Reese over there in the Atlanta area, came up and he was turned on. Anyway, he came up and every day that we were teaching this, he'd come up. I see it. He said, you got to come to my church and preach this. I said, I can't. He said, you got to come. He said, pray about it. I said, well, I can't because I already. He said, yeah, but just pray about it, okay? Just pray. All right, I'll pray about it, you know. Well, he came up and he said, let me show you something I got out of this. Verse 39, he said, then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea. He said, notice he rebuked the wind and said to the sea. I said, yeah. He said, the wind was the root of the problem. The reason the ocean or the sea, the water was in a tumult is because of the wind. And so instead of just telling the wind or the sea and dealing with the circumstance, he went right to the root and he rebuked the root of the problem, rebuked the wind. And he said this, and I feel like it has these same kind of issues because of the parabolic day that they were having where everything was a parable. I believe with all of my heart that this wind represented those spiritual demonic forces that would stir things up. And he rebuked those winds just like he'd rebuked demons. He rebuked the wind and then said to the circumstance, peace be still. See, a lot of times you'll just talk to the circumstance, but you didn't rebuke and take authority over the demonic forces behind the circumstance. Somebody says, do I have authority there? You better believe it. And if you don't know that you have authority there and use that authority, you get your brains beat out and your boat full of water and sink over and over and over. Somebody said, do we have authority? Yeah, put on the armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the... That you may stand. Not God, you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Take up the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, right? Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much of it?
All of it.
He said, I give you the authority over all the power of the enemy. Well, if you've got the authority, then why do you keep asking God to take authority? Why do you keep asking God to do it? That's right. Because, see, we just don't have confidence in these things. Even though God said them, they're realities, but until we stand up and take confidence in these things, they don't work. So, see, Jesus didn't say, oh, God! No. He rebuked the wind. Knock it off. And then he said to the sea. The sea was the real problem, right? It's filling the boat up. But the wind was the cause. See, so when you're going after things with spiritual, in the spirit realm, you've got to not only take authority and deal with the circumstances, or it may even be a sickness. The sickness may be what the problem is, but the root of that is where you need to take authority and rebuke and say, Satan, I see you and what you're doing. Somebody said, well, how do you know that it's the devil? Because Jesus pointed it out to us. See, you shine the light of the word on it and you'll see it. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, is this thing, whatever you're dealing with, stealing, killing, or destroying? Mm-hmm. Guess who's there?
The thief.
You understand?
Yep.
See, this is how you see into the spirit realm. You see into the spirit realm with the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You take God's Word and it brightens up and you say, oh, I see who's there. Yeah, right there. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. See, take authority over that. And then you deal. Notice, secondarily, he dealt with the circumstance. Mm-hmm. See, I've seen this so often. We'll try to deal with a circumstance in somebody's life and there's a root problem. They've given place to the devil. Mm-hmm. And you just can't get them free. You can't get it dealt with. See, but if you go after the root and you get the devil driven out of that thing, and you get that other authority out of there, then, man, this mountain moves a whole lot easier because it's not backed by other forces. See, and so that's what Jesus did. He rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And notice this. There was a great calm. You know what the word great there is?
Megas.
A great calm. We're not talking about it's smoothed out pretty much in just small waves. It's glass. You understand? This thing went from the boat filling up to glass. And you know what the disciples did? And the disciples said, dude. I mean, that had to be a trip, huh? I mean, just a great calm. But he said to them, now see, guys, if you were the Son of God, you could have done that too. But see, that's what he said in most of our traditional Bibles, isn't that right? Pretty slick, huh, guys? Not bad, huh? Being the Son of God, huh? Do you wish you could have done that? Not what he said, is it? Notice what he said. But he said to them, why? He wants to know something. He's got a couple of questions for them. Why? He said, I ask you this. Please help me here. Tell me why. Why are you so fearful?
Well, the boat was filling up with water here. You know, I mean, it's a big storm going on. The boat was going to... You mean,
what kind of question is that? Why are you so fearful? We're about to go down. What kind of question is that? Well, in light of the circumstance, it wasn't a very smart question. It was pretty obvious why they were so fearful. About to die, right? But in light of what he'd been explaining to them all day long, where it says, and he explained all things to his disciples about how the word will produce if you can hang on and not allow the persecution and the tribulation to choke it and to dry it up. If you can hang on to the word will grow up and become
greater.
So that's why he's asking them, why? Why are you so fearful? Notice this question. How is it that you have no faith? Well, where were they going to get faith? Faith comes... Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And he just spent the whole day giving them the word and explaining everything to them. And that's why he's asking them, why is it that you have no faith? Now let me show you the way Jesus sees this thing. It is not a guaranteed thing that if you stay around and get into the deep Bible studies and hear the word, that when the circumstance comes, it'll automatically work. There is no autopilot here. Somebody says, well, you know, it's in my heart. I've heard the word. I believe the word. And I've prayed that God's will be done. You know, I just get out there and if it's God's will, it'll happen.
Nope.
Didn't, did it?
Nope.
They're about to die. Jesus wasn't. Somehow he's going to float on top of the water asleep. He wasn't going to die. How many of you believe that? If the boat went down, they might have all died. It would have been 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 will drown at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Isn't that right? This guy was sleeping in Psalm 91. This guy was sleeping in the Word. He was not concerned about it. Now that takes an alteration of the way that you see things, does it not? Mm-hmm. You've got to alter your thinking to see it like this, because the natural mind does not see it like this. The natural mind is, well, if God wanted to happen, He'd have stopped it because it's about full.
Nope.
Notice this, even when it was about full, He's still sleeping. Now notice this. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I remember Jesus asked when He cast the demon out of that epileptic son. And the father brought that son to Jesus and said, I want you to minister to my son. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus said, oh, faithless. First words out of his mouth. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? What is He saying? How long am I going to have to do this for you? He'd already, you know, He'd said, freely you've received, now freely give. How long do I have to do this? In other words, fully saying to them, you can do this. I don't have to do this for you. I've given you what I have. You've got my name. You've got the authority. Do it. You've got the Word in your heart. So notice again, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41, let me show you what miracles do. Somebody says, well, if I could see a miracle, I'd believe. Well, they just saw a big miracle. Notice verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. You don't get faith by seeing miracles. Somebody says, if I could just see miracles. No, you wouldn't believe anyway. Nope. But if the Word of God interprets the miracle, that can bring faith. By saying, thank God, that's what the Word says. See, that can bring faith because of the memory of the Word on that miracle. But just by seeing miracles, that doesn't necessarily bring faith. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, well, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Who can this be? Now, I used to think this. I used to think, and I used to even teach this when I taught along these scriptures. I used to think that Jesus, and I used to say this, I said, what did Jesus want them to do? And I'd say, He wanted them to stand up and rebuke the wind and say to the sea, peace be still. At least Peter should have done it, because Peter knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had some revelation about that, right? And Jesus said, man, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I also give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth, He's given it to him. You. So you're thinking, man, Peter should have had something going on here. He had some insight to this thing. But I don't see that anymore. I don't think that that's what Jesus wanted him to do. You know what I think Jesus wanted him to do? Go to sleep. Isn't that what Jesus was doing? Go to sleep. Why? Because I said, let us go over the other side. I believe that those things I say will come to pass. If you really believe those things you say will come to pass, go to sleep. Why get up and fight? You're going the other side. What about this storm? You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, let me tell you what the devil does. The devil loves, he'd do jumping jacks right in front of you. Ah, bleh, boo, woo, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill you. Oh, you know? And you know what we do? Ah! You know what Jesus does?
Wow, wow, wow,
wow. I remember reading about Smith Wigglesworth. Now, you remember Martin Luther, right? He woke up, felt a presence in his room, and he looked up, and there's the devil in his room. The devil himself, from what he said. And he reached over and grabbed an ink bottle and chucked it at the wall. And I think even today you can go to that house and you can see the ink stain on the wall. He just chucked that bottle at him. Well, that's a kind of a cool story. I'll tell you the one I like better. It's when Smith Wigglesworth woke up. He felt this presence in the room, woke up, He looked up, he saw it was the devil, and he said, "Oh, it's only you." And he went back to sleep. Freak him out? No. He had no faith in the devil's power or ability to hurt him. Let me tell you, that's different. If we woke up and we looked up and saw the devil, you know. That's what the average Christian would do. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? We'd just be, Jesus. We'd be trying every Christian chant we can do. You know what I mean? We'd be trying to sing songs and everything. We'd be doing anything we could do, trying to figure out, what do I do with this guy? Well, let me tell you something. Just because you can't see him, he and or demons, evil spirits are around all the time. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't see them, they're right there. If they can't hurt you when you can't see them, they can't hurt you when you can see them.
That's right.
Isn't that true? He just turned around, go and sleep. Let me tell you something. Faith rests. Now see, if I tell you, if you say, "Man, I need $500, I've got to have it tomorrow, $500. And I tell you on the telephone, "You know what? I'm coming over your house in the morning, and I got a check for $500 I give you." Now you think, you know, if you know me and you trust me, you think you're going to be up all night? "I wonder how I'm going to get that $500. What if he gets in an accident on the way over here? I mean, what if he oversleeps? I mean, what if he runs out of gas?" Would you be up all night? No. Why? Because you'd believe me. Be over tomorrow with $500. You know what you'd be doing? "Hey, check this out. I was talking to Pastor Jerry. He's coming tomorrow. Can he give us a check for $500? You'd be excited. You go to sleep that night, sleep like a baby. You know why? Because you believe me. Isn't that true? Faith rests. Faith rests. That's what Jesus was doing. He'd already said, "Let us go to the other side." He went to sleep. Wasn't worried about it. See, I'm telling you, we get up, we think it's spiritual. We, "In the name of Jesus, we're should have bought a Honda Yamaha." You know what I mean? "Untie my bow tie." You know what I mean? Just going after it, praying and everything. Just really, you know what it is? A lot of times, fear.
Yeah, fear.
Fear, just praying out of fear.
That's true.
Just really trying to get after it. You know what it is? We've got a fear in our heart, and we're thinking, "He's going to get us the boats. My boat's filling up, and we're going to die, and I got to come against him." And you know what it is? It's fear. Because if you really believed, when you said, "In the name of Jesus, knock it off. It's going to be the way the Word said it's going to be. In Jesus' name, amen," you go to sleep. Isn't that right? But see how the enemy is? He gets you believing everything else. Ooh. Yeah. Jesus expected them to go to sleep. Rest. Why? Because of the Word. To grow up and become greater. The Word would have handled the storm. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus wasn't jumping up and saying, "Hey, what's going on here?" No, he believed. He'd already said, "Let us cross over the other side." And that one phrase he felt was enough to handle it. Now, you believe that's possible?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you, as I close, one more picture of this thing. He sends the disciples across the lake and he stays and prays. Remember that? And then all of a sudden the Bible says Jesus comes walking on the water and would have passed them by. And they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, "Yah! It's a ghost." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It's me, your buddy Jesus. Here I am." He comes walking a little closer. "It's me. It's okay." You know, here's what Peter says. "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you on the water." Well, he didn't leave Jesus much choice, did he? "If it's you, tell me to come out." Well, it was him, wasn't it? He couldn't deny it. "It's me." Let me tell you what Jesus did. One word. Come. One word. Come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water based on one word. No big long explanation. No great big hour of building the faith and pump. You ready for this? We're going to pump you up. We're going to psych you up. Come on, you can do this. You're going to do this? Come on now. You can do it. Pump yourself. Come on now. Come on, get warmed up now. You can do it. You know what I mean? There was no pump up. There was no warm up. There was no somebody just trying to, come on, let's sing some songs here, you know. There was none of that. Put on the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, choosing, you know what I mean? Nothing. No Christian faith, religious type of exercises whatsoever. Isn't that right? One word. Come. And the power of one word of God was all it took if Peter would stand on that one word. It's the only word that told him he could do that. And faith in one word of God held him up on top of the water as he walked to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that stopped him is when he started looking at the wind. Right? Isn't that true? As long as he was staying focused on the fact that Jesus had come. Now, I want you to notice this. He wouldn't go unless Jesus said it. If it's you, tell me to come. Why? I need to know that you said it. See, that's what we need. We need the word. If God said it, then that's God's will for your life. It's what he wants to do. And if you can believe what he said, you can walk on water in your life. Walk right past things that the enemy's planned for you. Right over the top. If you can have the confidence in what God said. See? Faith rests. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you that you've taught us and dealt with us in these series of messages. Exposed things in our lives, exposed and unveiled, illuminated, revealed, opened our eyes to, enlightened us to the way that the kingdom of God operates. You said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all of the parables? You've shown us things here. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you, by the Holy Spirit, would remind us over and over and over of the foundation that you've laid with your teaching. First of all, Jesus, I thank you for teaching us the way that you do. I thank you that you don't tell us that we have a less than opportunity than what you have, but you always say things like, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I thank you that you always encourage us that we can live the way that you lived, and function the way that you functioned, and believe the way that you believed, and speak and declare the way that you spoke and declared. Father, continue to enlighten us to this. Father, I pray for those who may be facing a storm right now, and the enemy has come in and stirred up circumstances, whether they're physical or financial or social or mental or in any other realm that we operate in. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the word of God that strengthens us will give us the faith to stand up and rebuke the cause and the enemy, take authority over him and his plan, and then speak to the problem, the circumstance, and say, peace be still, be quiet, be still, knock it off, line up to God's word and plan for my life. In Jesus' name, praise God. Father, don't let us forget and be caught off guard with these things that Jesus has taught to us, because the Holy Spirit was sent to remind us of everything Jesus said to us. We believe you for that. Praise God. Right there where you're seated, just say this out loud. Say, I believe God's word. And I choose in my life to stand on it. just the way that Jesus did, expecting that God's word, that God's promises will come to pass in my life, even when it looks like they won't. I'll stand on the word and declare it and thank God for it and stick with it until due season comes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Let's stand here. Praise God. Can you believe we're done? Can you believe that? Don't clap. We're done with that one. And we'll never be by there again, at least for another week or two.